Right. Hey, and welcome. Welcome. I'm so excited we get to be together. And if you're brand new, welcome. Love having you here, which includes our online campus. We love all you guys too. And right now, I want all of us to welcome Marissa, who's in Westwood, California, watching. Yeah. Praise God you're on, and all you guys. All right, before we dive in, I'm going to emphasize something big, and I'm not without any apology. I'm going to ask you to do whatever you can to be with us this Saturday morning, this coming Saturday morning, in the Plex for Leadership Matters. Now, why? Because Bill Hybels said this, and it's true. When leaders get better, everything gets better. When leaders get better, everything gets better. And so what I want you to think about is this. You all are leaders in one way or another. And the better you get at leadership, you'll rise in your ability to lead. Your influence will go up in a good way. It'll make you better in your home and your family. It'll make you better at work. I want you to rise higher and go further in your job. I want you to do that in every other place. So what we do is three times a year is we get together and we do leadership things that make you a better leader. So I want you to come, bring your friends, bring your non-Christian friends you work with, make sure and come to it. Now let me tell you a little bit of what you're gonna get this time. Number one, we're having Chick-fil-A for breakfast. Okay, there you go. And out of that, it's a Chick-fil-A theme day in some ways, because I got to hear from Mark Miller, who's the vice president, and here's his title, of high performance leadership at Chick-fil-A. And he taught me things that I've been using that changed my life. And I know they'll change yours. They'll make you a better leader. And I want you to hear what I learned from Mark and how I apply it here so you can apply it in your world. The second thing is we're going to interview our owner of our Chick-fil-A here in Corona. He's going to be there. We're going to interview him. And so that's going to be cool. Then a non-Chick-fil-A moment. Wes Bentley. There are leaders outside of Chick-fil-A. All right. Wes Bentley is a man that God is using to lead 400 chaplains that he trains for the Sudanese army, and they are the best soldiers in the army by far, and everybody knows it, but they actually go on the front lines for Jesus Christ. And they are, country's being changed by the way he trains leadership in them. So you're not gonna believe his story, but it's true. We're not gonna be able to record it. We're not gonna be able to send it out. The only way to hear it's to be there. It's life-changing to hear him. So you gotta be at Leadership Matters. How do you sign up? You can grab one of the cards, write on your information, put on the back, Leadership Matters. Drop it in an offering box. You could go on our online website, crossroadschurch.com, which is probably the best way to sign up. Or you can go on our app, which ties that is the best way to sign up. Or we want you there so bad, we're going to have people in the lobby that'll sign you up. We want you there. And so please come and please bring friends and please don't miss this Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, Chick-fil-A, and we will get you out at 11:59 because leaders always get out on time. Okay. All right. So, why don't you think about something with me? There was a couple, they were almost at their 50th wedding anniversary, and they're driving down the road together, just kind of enjoying themselves on a two-lane highway, and they look out ahead of them, and they can't believe what they see. A car is swerving all the way across the road, coming at them at a high rate of speed. A great, great chance it's going to hit them. And the husband's holding on, and the wife is watching, and the car comes by and just misses them. When it just misses them, they see in the other car, there's a high school or college age young couple, and the girl is sitting right next to the guy with her arms around him, which is why he's driving like that. And they look at it as they rushes by. And the wife says, "Did you see that?" And the husband said, "Yes, I did." She said, "Do you remember when we used to drive like that?" And he goes, "Yep." And she said, "Why don't we drive like that anymore?" And he said, "I never moved." I want to ask you a question. How close are you to God? How close are you to God? Because I want you to know this. You're as close to God as you want to be. And here's what I want you to know. If you're brand new to all this, if you are exploring spirituality and wondering about Christianity, we're hoping you discover how much God loves you and how Jesus is truly real. But let me tell you, you're as close to God as you want to be. God said in Jeremiah 29, he said, "If you seek for me, you'll find me if you search for me with all your heart." He said, I'm not going to play hide and seek. I'm not going to hold you at arm's distance. If you want to be close, you can be close. By the way, in the New Testament, we hear these words, a promise of God, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. If you move over, he'll be close. But let me tell you something, that there's a lot of Christians who they moved. And the Lord said, I never moved. You're a Christian and we're not close today and I never moved. We used to have it. We used to be together, but I never moved. The Ephesian church, by the way, they moved. And Jesus is going to talk to them about that. Which brings us to where we're at now in the book of Revelation. We're in a section of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, where Jesus is writing a letter, one letter to each of seven churches. So there's seven letters to the seven churches. For those of you who do not know what I'm talking about, letters are kind of like an email, okay? It's an email that's written down, so if you don't know what that is. But I'm going to ask you to not let this letter go to junk. Get it? You're the only service that laughed at that. The others just looked at me like... But he wrote this letter because he cares about them. He wrote this letter because he loves them. And in five of the cases, there's problems he had to address. And the Ephesian church had a big problem. They moved. And he's going to ask them, I don't want you to move. And here's how we can get it back. By the way, this not only applies to a church like Crossroads. It applies to individual Christians. Ready for this. It applies. What you're going to hear will help you in every relationship you have. If you want to get a relationship back, it'll help you in every relationship you have. Let's pray. Father, I pray right now that your spirit would speak to us and we wouldn't miss your words. I would say just as much as that, we don't want to miss your heart. That you love us. We can be close to you. We can be so close. And you're here right now. And I pray people are going to really take to heart what you're telling them. I pray I will. Jesus, we want to do this in your name. Amen. Amen. So the question he's going to ask the Ephesian church is, how did it go from passionate to pointless? How did our relationship that was so on fire go down to where it's just lukewarm and okay? In other words, spiritual entropy set in. Entropy occurred, and now we're not like we used to be. How could it happen? And we got to ask that question about the Ephesian church. I want you to catch this. The Ephesian church, in their beginning days, had the most amazing pastors ever. I feel like you guys love me. I really do, so I'm not insecure about that. But I got to tell you, you would rather have their pastors than me. Their founding pastor was the Apostle Paul. Could you imagine him being your pastor? And then Paul handed it over to Timothy, who was incredible. And then following Timothy, their new pastor was John the Apostle. That's pretty cool, huh? Could you imagine if John the Apostle were the pastor at Crossroads? He'd come and walk out and say, when Jesus and I were hanging out, he said. I mean, that would be like really good, right? And the church was great people. A letter was written about 40 years before this one to the Ephesian church, and there wasn't one problem mentioned. So at one time, it was so right. It was so on fire. It was so good. And then it all went away. So what Jesus is going to do in every single one of these letters, he's going to begin with who he is and share some attributes and characteristics of himself where he reveals himself. And the book of Revelation is about revealing Jesus. And he's going to say some attributes that apply to their situation. And then he's going to talk about what he likes. He's going to talk about what he doesn't like and how to get it right. So let's start out with number one. Number one, who Jesus is. So the Ephesian church needs to know this. Revelation chapter 2 verse 1 says, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand and the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands says this. So who is Jesus to them? Well, he's writing to the angel of the church. And the word angel, by the way, is the Greek word angelos, and it means angel, like supernatural angel, or messenger. Now, an angel could bring a message, or a person could bring a message. So there are some people who believe, I don't believe this, that this letter is written and addressed to the senior pastor, the lead pastor, the teaching pastor of the church. Now, that actually would be pretty cool because I've been called a lot of things, but I've never been called an angel. Okay, all right, so, but I don't think that's true. And there's a lot of reasons why, but let me tell you why. He's gonna talk about the seven stars. And the seven stars are seven angels of the seven churches. And every time except one in the book of Revelation, whenever a star is mentioned, it refers to a supernatural being we know as an angel. Matter of fact, the Bible teaches us something pretty cool. According to Hebrews 13, you and I have interacted with angels and not known it. God uses angels, and he loves the church so much that every angel has a church watching over it. And so when he says, I'm holding the seven stars on my right hand, Revelation 1:20 tells us the stars are the angels of the churches. Now that means, by the way, that Crossroads has an angel or angels watching over us. Why? Because the Lord loves the church so much. He has assigned angels to care for us. That's what Jesus wants the Ephesian church to know. That's what he wants you and I to know. And I think it's pretty cool that over the 10 years I've been the senior pastor here, the lead pastor, I've had on more than one occasion people from our church come to me and say, I had a dream last night. And in my dream, an angel was seen over Crossroads. I actually saw angels at Crossroads. I had a couple people tell me, I had a vision. One lady came and said, Pastor Chick, I've never had a vision before, but I had a vision, and I think this vision is from God, and I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the Crossroads property, protecting it. Now, every single time, people have come and told me that. They didn't know it, but we were facing a challenge. And I went, wow. The Lord gave that to us so we would have encouragement. The Lord gave us encouragement at that moment because he wanted us to have that. And so I want you to know that God gives angels. Look what it says in Psalm 34, verse 7. It says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. So here's what I want you to know. Jesus is saying to the Ephesian church, I love you, and I love you so much I put an angel over you, watching over you. Then he said, I'm also the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands. Now, what does that mean? The lampstand is the menorah stand. You know what I'm talking about? A menorah is one stand with seven lamps, seven candles on it. And he said, I want you to be that. And every church, Revelation 1:20, the lampstands are the churches. And what does that mean? I have made you to shine as a light to the world. Now that applied to the Ephesian church. I'm there in your midst, wanting you to shine out brightly. And he's also saying to Crossroads, I'm Jesus. And I'm real, and I'm in your midst, and I want you to shine out brightly. How do we shine out brightly? Matthew chapter 5. It says this in Matthew 5. It says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket. Now, this gets to be big. Nobody here, I know nobody here, none of you light a lamp, turn on a lamp in your house, and put a blanket over it. Right? Does anybody do that? No, it would be crazy. And he said, you're my church, and I don't want you hiding yourself. I don't want you to hide what you do for me, is what he's about to say. And he says this, no one puts it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and he gives light to all who are in the house. Then he said this, here's a message to you and me. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. Now, here's what Jesus is saying. I want you to do the good works you do in a way that people can see it. I don't want you to do it to be seen. I want you to do it so they can see you're doing it for me. Now, in other words, when they see us doing good things, they go, that's because you guys love God. And they realize Jesus is real. So we don't do it to get our own acclaim or glory. We don't do it to put on a show, but we don't hide it either. That's what Jesus is saying. So when that happens, man, there's a power impact that happens. A better impact than those two lame earthquakes we just had. Those are like minor, you know, and we make a bigger impact than that. So here's the thing. When that happens, it's awesome. Craig Olson, who hosted today, he's our junior high pastor. Craig is a boldly go guy, and we have a boldly go vision to reach this next generation for Christ. So he was actually saying, God, how can I do that? So he went down to Corona Fundamental, Corona Junior High, and he just said, it was Christmas time. He said, do you have any kids here who aren't going to have a great Christmas? And one of the staff members said, yeah. She goes, normally we take care of them, but we just found out about three families that we don't have the resources to make sure they'll have a great Christmas. And she goes, could you take one of those? And Craig goes, no, I'll take all three. We'll take all three. So they got a narrative on each of the families, knowing who they were and how many kids in the family and what kind of food needs they'd have and then what the kids would want for Christmas. And one of the families, there's a girl, Manelli. Manelli's a part of this family. And this girl, you got to hear about her, you guys. She goes to Corona Fundamental. She's getting pretty much straight A's, but she doesn't have a computer. So that means she gets to school early and goes in the library and does her work. And at lunchtime, she does her work. And after school, sometimes she does her work because she's not going to let anything hold her back or hold her down. And so she's getting really good grades, but she actually put on the list she'd love to have a computer. She also volunteers at Garrettson, helping other children. This girl's like an all-star. And so when Craig saw that, he thought, we're getting her a computer. So we got a team of people from Crossroads, and they resourced themselves together for all the families, but they also got the computer. And he called up the Corona Fundamental. He said, I've got Manelli's computer. And they said, well, guess what? Today she's at Garrettson. Go give it to her there. So Craig went down to Garrettson. And you ready for this? They were having an all-school assembly. And Craig didn't know they were going to do this. They had Craig come up in front of everybody saying he had a special presentation. And he came up and he said, there's a girl here named Manelli, and I want you to know everyone knows how incredible you are. And I want you to know Jesus knows how incredible you are. And Crossroads is behind you. Come get your gift. And she opened up and got her computer. Yeah. Isn't that cool? She now knows that Jesus knows she matters. And you know what? We do that for the Lord. And so, by the way, we're supposed to shine his light. So he said, that's who I am. And then Jesus is going to say, let me talk to you about what I like about you. Because you want to know what Jesus likes? Get ready. Jesus is going to list off eight qualities that he loves about them. So we're looking at what Jesus likes right now. And he said, I know your deeds and your toil. The word deeds is the Greek word ergon, and it means to use energy. Toil is, it means literally to work to the point of exhaustion. So do you know what Jesus is saying? I know you burn calories for me. That's what he's saying, because you do these, you know, he said you have energy, and it's, you are not the kind of people that have an LA Fitness membership and never go. All right. He said, you know what? You've got energy and toil. You work hard to the point of exhaustion. And I see that. And I know that about you. And then he goes on to talk about their perseverance. And catch this. They cannot tolerate evil men. They put a check on evil. By the way, another reason to go to Leadership Matters, Wes Bentley is putting a check on evil. And I want you to hear about that. And so they do that. And they put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not. How do they do that? Because they know the word of God. And he says, and you found them to be false. And he's going to talk again about their endurance and perseverance. He says, and you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. You're hanging in and you don't give up. He said, Jesus said, I want you to know I don't miss any of those eight things. I value those eight things. Now, I think this tells you a lot about Jesus. Because I know if you got honest about you, and I get honest about me, you're going to admit at times, and I think all of us have done this, all encompassing, and we've all done this, you're going to admit at times that what you've done is you have seen somebody as all good, and then later on you made them all evil. Have you done that? Come on, have you done that? We do that to people. We act like there's nothing wrong with them, and then maybe they have a misstep, maybe they have a character flaw, maybe they do something they shouldn't, and all we can do is demonize them, and that's not a healthy way to go. You know, maybe you're like the young girl who's dating the guy, and he's just perfect, and he's incredible, and he sells everything. You just don't know him like I do, and she doesn't see he's unemployed. And then she turns and he's all evil and all bad. Let me tell you this. There are probably a few, but it's very few people who are truly all evil. There's probably some. But the vast majority of us have good and bad. And we're a lot healthier when we can see the good, even when there's some things that need to be checked. And Jesus is saying, I won't miss your good. I won't miss your good. He doesn't in you. And he didn't in them. And he said, I want you to know that. And so he talked about how good they were. But then he says, but there's something I don't like that is so big, it overshadows those eight qualities. So what we're going to look at now is what Jesus doesn't like. What Jesus doesn't like. And you need to know what Jesus doesn't like to know him. One time before I was dating Pam, I took a girl out on a date to a sushi restaurant. And she didn't like fish. Not a good idea. Bad date. So I got Pam. So anyway, so here's the thing. What Jesus doesn't like, you got to know that. And so notice what he says. Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 says this. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. That you've left your first love. You moved. I never moved. You moved. And Jesus said, why? In Jeremiah chapter 2, we get a better definition of this, maybe a more exhaustive one, where the Lord said, what did I do that you left me for something that doesn't even matter and is empty and worth? What did I do? So when you're in your journal, you saw that. And the Lord says, I want you to know I love you. I want you to know I care about you. I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. It grieves the heart of God when you don't love him with the first love. And if you're wondering what first love is, do you remember? First love is when you first met somebody and fell in love with them. I know what that was like with Pam. When Pam and I first met and I was falling in love with her, I would look into her eyes and get dizzy. I really did. I remember one time she touched my shoulder and I thought, oh, I thought I was going to go nuts. And by the way, I walked through an airport and people touched my shoulder, no big deal. But Pam touched my shoulder. One time she squeezed my bicep. And then that moment came, we held hands for the first time. And it was like, oh, does anybody know what that's like? And you're like, oh, wow. And then I had my arm around her. First time I had my arm around her, and my arm starts going to sleep. I'm not taking it down. First love. Everything's new. Everything's exciting. Everything's alive. And Jesus said, we don't have that anymore. We don't have that anymore, and it's not okay, and it hurts. A couple was in counseling, and they were not doing well, and one of their problems was sexual intimacy. And so all of a sudden, the wife just really angry about it, and the question is, why are you guys not intimate any longer? And she looks at him, and she said, you know I would if you wanted to. And he looked at her and said, I don't want to. Because you know what? You don't want to. You would do it if I want to. But you don't want me. You don't want me. And the Lord's saying, you don't want me. You don't want to be in my word. You might be reading the Bible, but you don't really want to. You come to worship, and maybe you even skip the songs, or when you're here, you don't want to worship. You don't want to talk with me. You don't want to spend time. You don't have first love, like when it was so new and so exciting and so alive. And Jesus is saying, that just can't be how it is. I want love. That's the whole idea of the relationship with God, is a love relationship where you don't move, you stay with him. And in Matthew, we see the greatest calling of God is you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And this is the greatest and foremost of any commandment God has. It's the greatest thing he wants between you and him. That's what God loves. That's what God wants. That's what he, and don't miss this. He wants it from you. You by name. He knows you by name. You matter that much to God. He wants to have a love relationship with you. Think about that. God loves you, and your love matters to him. And he's saying, I wanna have a relationship like that with you. And so the Lord wants you and I to have that closeness and not lose it. And there's this thing you need to know. You don't have to lose it. When I was doing youth ministry here at Crossroads Christian Church years ago, there was a family in our church, and they had a daughter who had never become a Christian. Christian family. She had never become a Christian, and now she was a junior. So she's at that age saying, I don't even want to go to church anymore. So they're trying to decide, do we force her to come or not? She's a junior in high school. And so they came and said, we're beside ourselves. We don't know what to do. And here was my answer. Get her to camp. Get her to camp. By the way, parentheses moment. We have children's camp coming. We have junior high camp coming. We have high school camp coming. Let me tell you, get your kids to camp. It's the best thing you could do. That time of being with other Christians and forming great friendships and worshiping God and doing it in nature, man, nothing's better than that. And I would always tell everybody when I was doing youth ministry, get your kids to camp. And I'm telling you, if you need to get them there, by the way, just fill out the information and check one of the camps. We'll get you information. If you're in high school, go to camp. Go to camp. So anyway, I said, get her to camp. So they asked her to go to camp, and she said, no, I don't want to go. So I thought, okay, I'm going to try. So I went on Corona High School campus, which I did all the time back then. I hunted her down. She's a beautiful girl, super popular. She had all these friends. So I walked up and said, hey, guys, how you doing? And they said, we're doing great. How are you doing? And I said, any chance I can get you to go to camp? And she looked me in the eye and said, no way. And her friends go, nah, we don't want to go. And I said, guys, come on, give me a shot. Give me a week at camp. And they all looked at me and said, you're going to study the Bible there? I said, yeah. They go, nah, we don't want to go. So then I looked at them. I said, guess what? Scott Musgraves is going to camp. And they went, oh. I said, Milo's going to camp, two football players. They go, oh. So they all went to camp. And I got them there. Monday night, they're sitting way off on the right and as far back as they could be. And I give the invitation, and they all as a group come forward crying. Man, they are just experiencing the Holy Spirit, and God's moving, and they come forward crying, and I'm so excited, and I'm hugging them, and man, they changed. And that week, like, went from having to make them be there to they wanted to be there, from being a Bible study to even having their own Bible study, and coming and asking me questions, and they're so excited and so on fire. And then what happened is we're driving home in our church bus, which, by the way, let me tell you, one of the worst ideas ever is for a church to have a bus. Yeah, so we had this bus that always broke down. And second worst idea, I was driving. That built people's faith in God. Anyway, so I'm driving them back. I pull in the parking lot. I open the door. She runs to her mom and dad, and I'm standing there, and she's hugging them. Mom, I'm so excited. She's going on and on. And her mom goes, calm down, honey. I know you're excited now, but I want to tell you something. It'll go away. I wanted to kick her. I mean, her greatest dream and desire was happening, and she's throwing cold water on it. By the way, was something not true? Let me tell you something. As a guy who loves Jesus, am I perfect? No. And everybody who knows me knows that. That's okay. But I promise you, everybody who knows me personally knows this. I am more in love with Jesus today than I've ever been in my whole life. It doesn't have to go away. So take a lesson from an old guy. It doesn't have to go away. You don't have to move. And here's the thing is Jesus looks at him and goes, you don't love me like you used to. So he wants to tell him how to get it back. So Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, he's going to begin to tell his solution, Jesus' solution. Therefore, I want to have this first love back. So by the way, you can apply this to other relationships too. So get ready. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first. Or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. So he tells them three things to do to strike the original match. All of us who are Christians, if you're not close to God, three things you can do to get back to that closeness. Get that passion going again. By the way, if you're not a believer, here's some things you can do to get close to God. And so I want you to think about this. Number one, therefore remember from where you've fallen. He said, remember what it was like when you first loved me. Remember what it was like when you had that first love and that excitement. You know, I told you about what it was like with Pam, but I know what it was like with Jesus and I in the beginning. I could not read the Bible enough. All of a sudden, I'm in love with the Lord, and I'm reading his word and devouring it and so excited about what God is teaching me. I couldn't worship enough. Here's the thing. Back then, does anybody remember these moments? Someone goes, we have a new worship song. I was like, yeah, another one to worship Jesus with. It was so exciting. And I wanted to be in church. I counted down the days to be in church and couldn't wait to be there. And by the way, back then, we had church Wednesday night and Sunday morning, and a different service Sunday night, and we were at all of them. You know why? Because we loved the Lord and wanted to be together. And then I couldn't wait to tell people about Jesus or serve Jesus, or it just kept going and going in prayer. Oh, praying to Jesus, it was like, wow, Lord, you're here, you're here. So here's the thing, I remember that. Do you remember those days for you? Do you remember what it's like when people looked at you and, wow, you love God? And you did. Do you remember that? Then he says this, remember, and now repent. Now, the word repent means change. It means change. It's a beautiful word. It means you can change. Get ready. This is big. Get ready. If you want change to happen, you have to change something. Some of you are going, whoa, that's heavy. I never say tweetable phrases. That's probably still not one. But if you want change to happen, you got to change something. Too many of us want change to happen and we don't change anything and nothing changes. Does that make sense? That's called the definition of insanity. But you got to change something. So Jesus said, I want you to remember from where you've fallen and make a change, make a real change. And what is that change? Do the deeds you did at first. Start doing it again. What did you do at first? Well, what you did at first is you prayed a prayer and said, Lord, I want to commit my life to you, and you meant it. You drew near to God, and he was drawing near to you. Then what did you do? When we asked people to stand for the invitation time and sing, you came. You made your way and you made that walk. And so you do that again. And it's kind of like a vow renewal service. And then you start doing what you used to do, reading the word the same and worshiping him and doing all those things you're remembering. And here's the thing he's saying, if that's born out of love and it's because of your faith, the feelings are going to come back. The feelings are going to come back. I was doing counseling with a couple, and their marriage wasn't going to make it, it looked like. Matter of fact, they sat in my office and said these words to me. They said, the reason we're here is this is our last-ditch effort, but we don't think it's going to work. But we want to be able to tell our kids, I gave it a try. Gave it a try. I said, okay, so let's go. And so the first session went bad. The next session went worse. And I went home and I said, Pam, I'm in over my head. I think I'm going to have to call this one. I just don't see it going on. So I go to the third one and I'm ready just to tell them, hey, this is done. This isn't working. And it started going bad again. And so I finally said, okay, you know what? Let's do this. We're not getting anywhere. And the husband said, that's right. And I said, all right. And before I said it, I looked at him and I said, do you mind if I talk to her alone? And he said, no, he was happy to get out of there. And so he left and I said, I got to ask you a question. Did you ever love him? And she said, yeah, I did. And I said, well, it's hard to see right now. You're so angry. You're so bitter. So you did. At some point, you loved him. She said, oh, I loved him, Chuck. I loved him. Man, in the early days, wow. And I started saying, well, tell me about those. Remember where you've fallen moment. Tell me what it was like. And she talked about it. I was doing Revelation 2. And then I said, I want to ask you a question. What were some of the things you did? She said, well, I'll tell you something I used to do that he loved. I would make his lunch, and I would get his briefcase ready so in the morning he could get up, grab it, and just go. And I would write a note and hide it somewhere in there, and he'd find it in the day. And I said, well, would you be willing to write him a note again and put it in his briefcase? And she said, no, because I don't feel it. I said, is there anything good about him? Anything you could point out? And she goes, well, there is. And I said, would you write a note about that and give it a shot? She said, I will. I said, okay, then I'll meet with you next week if you'll do that this week. So she did. He didn't know it, but she got his lunch ready, which kind of surprised him. And she wrote him a note. And she told me in the note it said this. She said, I know things aren't going good between us. I know it's hard, but I want you to know I see you're trying. I just want you to know I see you're trying. And he gets to work, and he opens his briefcase, and there's the note, and he told me this. He went, oh, no. And he picked it up and read it, and he was like, whoa. And he called her, and he said, thank you. He said, thank you. That meant a lot. So she thought, all right, I'll do it the next day. And so the next day, she wrote a pretty long one that said, you know, I want to tell you, in the midst of all the things that are bad, you're a great father to our kids. As a matter of fact, you're the father I've always wanted my children to have, and I see that in you. And she wrote about some specific things. And when he read it, he was really moved. And he called her again and said, you know, I don't know what's going on, but I got to tell you, I really appreciate what you're sharing. And so they got a chance to talk. So she gave him a note the next day and the next day. And then she got this great idea. And the idea was she was going to write him a note that said, when you get home from work today, the kids aren't going to be here. And she described it. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm not going any further. And he got that note, and he came home early. Which was one of her complaints. One of her complaints was, you don't ever come home on time. And I want to tell you, it's not like a magic bullet that would work for everybody, but let me tell you this. For them, it worked. And today, that was quite a few years ago. Today, they are so in love. Today, their marriage is so good. Today, it's the fire's been reignited. And God wants that with you. You know, God wants that with you. Jesus wants it with you. And so Jesus is saying to you, I never moved. I never moved. But I'm here. And if you would draw close to me, I'd draw close to you. By the way, if you've never found him, he's telling you, I'm here. If you draw close to me, I'll draw close to you. And so here's the thing. If you're someone here today who has not ever come to know Jesus Christ in a very real way, and this is about love, in a loving relationship where you know his love and you know you matter to him, well, you know what? What do? The Bible tells you what you need to do is it starts by calling out to him, by praying a prayer and saying, yes, I want it. I want the relationship. I'm saying yes to you. I'm saying yes to the life you have for me. I'm saying yes. You could pray that alone. You could pray it as a couple. You can pray it as friends like that group of girls did at that camp. And you just pray that prayer together and mean it. And in a moment, I'll lead that prayer. Then the next step is to make it known. Something happens. Something changes. Transformation takes place when you do something bold. So what we do every week, we do this every week, I offer people an opportunity to pray the prayer and say yes to God. And then if you pray the prayer and say yes to God, I'm going to ask everyone after that to stand and sing. I'm going to ask you, please, please don't slip out in this time, because people need courage to do that next step. And when you slip out, it distracts them. But I'm going to ask everyone to stand and sing. And if you pray the prayer and mean it, I'm going to ask you to make your way to an aisle or make your way to the stairs. And people would love to let you out and walk down one of these aisles and let us greet you. And then we're going to have you go in the living room over here. And in there, we're not going to keep you long. We're going to give you a Bible and share some things that you could do to get closer to God. But let me talk to you a minute. That's what you do the first time, that first step. But if you need to come back to Christ, if you need to move from here to here, do the thing you did at first. Do it again. Strike the original match. Pray that prayer. Make that walk. And you know, when you do, you get so close to God. When you pray the prayer, He draws near. When you make the walk, it goes deeper. If you want to, you could grab someone's hand and say, come with me. If you want, you could come as a group of friends. You could come as a couple. If you have your kids, bring your kids so they see it. But let God move in a big way in your life with a first love moment, either for the first time or to have it again. Let's pray. Father, I know You love us, and those aren't just words. We say it, and maybe we say it so much we lose the power of what that means. You love us. You love every man in this room, and You want them to be Your sons. You love every woman in this room, and You want them to be Your daughters. You love us all. And You, Jesus, You died on the cross so we could be forgiven, so we could be close to You. Really close. Getting to know You better and better. And I pray right now for anyone here who needs to come to You for the first time, or they need to recommit their life to You. I pray, oh Lord, knowing You're here, knowing Your presence, knowing Your heart for them, I'm praying for them to say yes. I know it's their choice, but I'm praying for them to say yes. And I know in any relationship, it takes two. And Lord, I know You're committed to them. I pray they'll be committed to You. So for the man who's here today that everybody used to say how on fire he was, they used to talk about how much he loved You, how strong a Christian he was, and it's not there anymore, I pray He's going to open His heart to you. For a woman who's here today, Lord, that she used to be so on fire, but she's been hurt and wounded by people in her life. And a couple of them, she just can't believe they treated her the way they did. And it's been hard to get back to You because of that. I pray she's going to open up and come. I pray, oh God, for a person who's here right now that they're caught up in some things that just, they've tried to quit. They've even said they're going to quit today. They're going to quit tomorrow. But they said that yesterday and they didn't quit. And yet now freedom can actually happen. Change can come. And Lord, I pray for someone right now who's actually thought about harming themselves and maybe taking their life. And Lord, You have them here today because You want to give them life. You don't want them to let go of it. And I pray they're going to come. So I pray for couples to say yes to You. I pray for people to say yes to You. I pray for those first time moments, for that recommitment, the prodigal to come home. Lord, I pray it's going to happen. Right now, while we're still praying, and if you're a Christian, pray for people to say yes to Him. Pray, pray, pray for that. I'm going to lead a prayer, and you can say yes to God, and I'm hoping a lot of you will pray this prayer with me. So right now, if that's you, if you're ready to say yes to God, pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus. Actually, think about it. What's going to happen when you say that prayer? He's going to come close. Say, Lord Jesus, I know You love me, and I know You died on the cross for me, because I matter to You, and I want to be Yours, and I want to be close, and I want to know You, and I want Your love, and I want the Spirit. So I say yes to You. I say, take me, draw me close, help me get to know You better and better. because today I'm committing myself to you. And I'm doing that, Jesus, in your holy name. Amen. And amen if you prayed that prayer.